now broadcasting the Webcomic Beacon with your hosts, Fess and Tanya.
Welcome back to episode 6 of the Webcomic Beacon. I am Fess.
And I'm Tanya.
And thanks to our announcer, Witchy Bunny of HiddenDisguises.com, we have a show for you today. And the show is, it's about single panel comics.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, kind of biffed that there.
It's all good.
We're recording live on January 9th, 2008. And tonight we will be talking with Chris Hallbeck of TheBookOfBiff.com later in the show. All right, well, first things first, we're going to go over some listener tune-ins.
Listener tune-in.
We have T-Bull of T-BullComic.com, and he says, single frame comics, only one thing comes to mind, Far Side by Gary Larson. This is the comic I grew up on. Yeah, I liked Garfield and Calvin and Hobbes, but Far Side destroyed everything out there with only one frame. The anthropomorphic views of the world were just superior to everything at the time, and it was just a kind of dry humor that has stuck with him for all this time, and it never gets old. Well, thanks very much, T-Bull, for sending in your feedback for this week's episode. The only thing is, we're not talking about print comics, we're talking about web comics. But, of course, a lot of people who do web comics, single panel web comics, would cite The Far Side as an inspiration. When it comes to single panel comics, it's very difficult for people to be able to pull it off in a single strip. Someone had sent a request for an impression, and I totally lost the email of what it was. But it was like single panel crime scenes or something like that. The way that it was presented, it was as if like a longer strip was chopped up into its individual panels and presented one at a time. That's not the way to do a single panel comic. You need to keep it individualized and self-contained to itself. Just because people can't really wait a whole day just to see one short thing happen next. It has to be self-contained.
Yeah, the pacing is excruciating if you do it that way.
Of course, Tanya may disagree with me, but I have to side with Scott McCloud that a single panel comic is not really a comic because it's only one image.
I think it depends on how you're looking at it. I know that, you know, when you're looking at web comics, they usually fall into one of two categories. They're either newspaper format or comic book format. And if you're going to do a newspaper format comic, then a single panel comic would also be acceptable. You know, you have Marmaduke and Family Circus and, you know, Gary Larson's Far Side. I didn't say they were good comics. I just said they were comics.
It is still
something
that
people are familiar with on a comic page.
There's not just two different things that a webcomic could fall into.
Most of them do.
Yeah, well, you have your traditional type that you normally see in print, and then you got your more ones that don't give it a flying about whatever. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about comics versus comic art, and I can totally see this comic art now. If you look at something like the Book of Biff, mostly like looking at the Book of Biff. Well, the whole premise seems like it's going towards like a goal, the book of Biff. It's going to be sequential art in a series when you put it together. And I will say that when you look in an archive of single panel comics, I think it becomes a comic in that sense. But if you just give me one panel, that's comic art. I see a lot of this kind of irked me a little bit when I ran the Jenny Everywhere contest at stripfight.org. It was supposed to be make a Jenny Everywhere comic strip. A strip. You can't have a strip with one page. That's right. That's one thing. A strip would indicate more. And there were a couple of just single panel things, and it's like, well, that's not really what I meant, but you know, I still ran with it. It's not a single panel strip, you know. It's just a single panel. Comic strip. You know, you think of it as in multiple panels, but you know, I'm not going to belittle the good single panel art that's out there, but you know, even when it comes to like sites or webcomics that normally do multiple panels, like actual strips, once in a while they'll throw a single panel out there, and it's usually like a montage of something, or
actually today's something positive is a single panel.
What are the? I don't read that one.
You don't read something positive?
No, I it's too big of an archive. I can't get into it.
What are they doing on the single panel? The single panel is actually sort of a look into heaven. I don't want to give too much away. One of the characters died, and so it's just, you know, it's a nice little shot of her waiting.
Yeah, and that's almost like
it gives a little foreshadowing. And some look into the past as well. But yeah, it's not something he does regularly. It's not something that most comics do regularly.
Yeah, it's much like when it happens in most other web comics that do multiple panels, mm-hmm. it's more like a step back and just taking the whole picture at once. It's a montage. It's kind of like a lump together art thing.
Right.
I don't really see it as a comic strip. It's comic art. I mean, it's art, yes. I don't think as a comic strip, it's not a comic.
It's still legitimate, you just classify it differently.
Yeah. It's semantics, I'm sure.
I'm starting to see a lot of comics now using a single panel as sort of augmentation to their regular strips. Geek Tragedy recently started doing a single panel beneath the regular comic called Geek Tragedy Squared. And it's more a look at the artist's life rather than the character's life. And it's the artist, you know, talking with his characters. So it's kind of a little extra thing. Thinking Ape Blues has also started, they publish a comic called Ape Shit, which is basically just tiny little ideas. It didn't work as a full comic.
I gotta bleep that.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh.
You just swore. You just swore on the beacon.
It's a tiny word. And it was technically correct.
Yeah.
It's a title. Don't I get some kind of license for title?
No, it's a lot funnier if I put the beep in. I'm gonna put the beep in. Anyway, also, you know what you're talking about sounds very familiar. There's like this obscure webcomic called Betapone that does this once in a while.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, that's so
every
weird.
Monday, as a matter of fact, and now Wednesdays too. Go figure.
You were talking about. What are some other single panel webcomics that you read? Since you obviously, you know, do that.
Since I do that, I think probably the most popular is Saturday Morning Breakfast Cereal, mm-hmm. which I almost want to say it qualifies as a two-panel strip, even though the second panel is just words. Oftentimes, in the comic panel, there's a clearly defined joke. You laugh, then you scroll down and read, you know, the verbiage underneath, and it's like a second joke. The panel actually becomes a setup for something farther. Beyond that, you know, you've got, again, Book of Biff, and then the sort of the doubles. But I really think that the Book of Biff and Saturday Morning Breakfast Cereal are the only ones that are doing this successfully. Everyone else is doing it, you know, maybe once a week. Dominic Deegan usually does a single panel on Sundays. Jenny Breeden of the Devil's Panties does a single panel. Usually less of a comic than it is artwork.
It's a very good supplement to a regular comic for something that you just, you know, like a joke that doesn't need more panels, you know.
Right.
I mean, I did try to do a little something like that when I first started PSI, but I couldn't do it right. mostly because it's like I couldn't write jokes in within one comic, which it eventually was supposed to be a gag a day, and it turned into not a gag a day because I couldn't write that short.
Yeah, I when I get writer's block, I get it for the single panel strip. I never have a problem with the full Friday strips. I can write a single comic page. I can write a whole comic. But it's really hard to come up with a single gag. And a lot of times they're bad. I mean, I'm going to be perfectly honest. They're not good. They're not funny. I don't laugh.
Or they're a little too inside, I think, where they have to read your blog.
Yeah, they either have to read the blog or they have to be somehow familiar with
me. Yeah, that's what I call a blogic. I don't know if there's a proper word for it, but I call it a blogic.
And you have just coined a new term.
Quite possibly, or I'm just like misrepresenting another existing word. But one thing I do want to say is the biggest blogic I know of would have to be, or that I read anyway from time to time, would be Felt Up. Felt Up, at least for the most part, when I've been going through the archives, if anybody doesn't know what Felt Up is, it's a comic that looks like it's pieced together with pieces of felt.
Right.
Sometimes it's animated, but when I had been reading it, I don't read it so often, so more, but there's usually text below it that has to go with above and below or one or the other, that has to basically go with the image that's being presented.
Right.
That's not a comic because so much of it is outside of it.
Right. It's an illustrated blog.
It's illustrated blog. A blogic.
A blogic. I like it. Own it.
Yeah, you know, I think some people can reason and understand where I'm coming from, and I don't think I'm the only one who thinks this. I don't think I'm all alone kind of grumbling in the corner, but...
No. And, you know, a lot of people have the perception, and they may very well be right, that, you know, single-panel comics are for the artistically lazy. I know that, you know, a lot of times when you see single-panel comics in... on a site that normally does full comics, it's because the artist didn't have time. And that's why I started BP was, you know, it started out as voting incentives, and then I gave up on the voting incentives thing.
Yeah.
And people were hassling me to update more than once a week, and I couldn't do it. So I kind of went, well, here.
That's another thing we should bring up on the show sometime. Those stupid top sites... The voting incentives. We got to do that for another show.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Absolutely.
Well, let's see here. It's like hey, I will say, like you said, it's for the artistically lazy. You said.
Sometimes now, no, when you look at Book of Biff and Saturday Morning Breakfast Cereal, they're doing it every day. That's definitely not lazy. But a lot of times it's because the artist was sick or didn't have time or whatever else, and they kind of slap up a single panel. Yeah.
Well, I wasn't just thinking of that. I was just thinking of other people that do the single panels, just the single panels. But it's, of course, it's like the good ones. The good ones, you know, they're well enough to stand on their own. So if they are artistically lazy, they're, you know,
they're doing
literary geniuses almost.
Yes.
For the good ones. But again, like with any comic medium, there's plenty of copycats. Me too, type of people.
Yeah,
and they obviously suck at it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's true. I hate to say it. It's hard to write for a single panel. It's hard to be interesting in a sentence, and it's
or
certainly
two. Scary.
Or two. Ooh, you know, if you want to be really adventurous, you have two sentences and a word bubble.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's hard to be funny in that little time, you know. Even stand-up comedians have to warm up, so
right.
Yeah, you can't you can't think, well, I'm going to do this the quick and easy way and just do a single panel and everyone will love it. No, you'll probably suck, and then and then you'll stop posting
and we'll and be
no happy. That sounded brutal.
I don't know.
The writing has to be spot on.
Right, but I think that's all we should really say on the subject right now, because
yeah,
I don't know,
we should stop.
I don't know, but I think we should. Well, after the break, we're going to be talking with Chris Hallbeck, mm-hmm. a really good single panel comic. But first, we need to be a little bit berated by Brett Hanley.
Brett Hanley with Casual Ramblings.
A. Burnside of Fredericksburg, Virginia writes, "Dear CN, I'm not sure whether I should make a long-form comic or a single-panel comic. Do you have any advice?" Gosh, A. Burnside, I wish I did. But every time someone brings up the topic of webcomic mechanics, my eyelids start drooping, and before you know it, my head's down on the keyboard and I'm drooling on the semicolon key. So I'm going to ask my neighbor, C. Mudgeon McCranky, to answer your question for me. Mr. McCranky?
And stay the hell off my lawn, you little bastards! I'm getting there, now shut your hole and go mow your lawn, you lazy punk. Now I hear that you young people today are reading a whole mess of what you call them single-panel comics. I think that's just awful. In my day, we had two kinds of comics. Four-panel humor comics that weren't funny, and four-panel story comics with no discernible plot development. But things were different back then. We had a depression, and then a war, and maybe some other things I don't quite remember. We had to stick together and do our part, and if that meant looking at Prince Valiant spend 7 weeks opening the same door, well, that's what you did! You kids got no appreciation of what's important with your one-panel comics with an easy-to-understand punchline. Lazy. A lot of ya. Just a bunch of lazy punks, and if I had my way... Didn't I just tell you little bastards to stay the hell off my lawn? Don't think I won't call the cops, and you better hope they get here before I get my belt off, boy. What? Oh, what was I saying? Oh, yeah. The price of potatoes today is just outrageous. Well, in my day, you could get a sack of potatoes for a nickel, but nowadays you got to pay more than 50 cents for a single rutabaga. Was that? No, I ain't going to talk about no single piano comics. I think they're stupid. Well, just go on home then. Don't you think I don't know who been stealing my satsumas? In the old days, you'd have had an ass full of rock salt for that.
Okay, let's not do that again. Back to you, Fess.
Find more from Brett Hanley at casualnotice.com.
The Webcomic Beacon is proud to be an affiliate of The Geek Media. TheGeekMedia.com has a number of geek-related websites, podcasts, and blogs for you to check out. Check out TheGeekMedia.com.
Webcomic Beacon is hosted by Zephyr.net. Free hosting for free thinkers.
All right, everyone. We seem to be having some technical difficulty with the show this week. So the interview portion of the Webcomic Beacon this week is gonna may sound a little bit different than usual, so just go with it. All right, with us tonight we have Chris Hallbeck of The Book of Biff. .com. Damn it. I'm all flustered now.
Welcome to the Beacon, Chris.
Thanks.
Oh, it should go better.
Chris, would you like to introduce yourself a little bit better than me?
My name is Chris Hallbeck. I do a webcomic called The Book of If. I started the website in April 06. So it's almost 2 years.
I was wondering if you could tell us how the Book of Biff came to be. What was its genesis?
Sure. Well, he started out as just a sketch. I had back in high school, I had lunch with my best friend, and I would take his student planner from him and do little funny drawings in it to make him laugh. Mm-hmm. And Biff evolved as a sort of a reoccurring gag from that. And then in college, I started actually drawing him as a single panel comic instead of just in the margins of notebooks. I managed to get some college credit drawing him in one of my illustration classes, and that's when I started making photocopy zines of them and handing them out to people at school. And then around that time is when this internet thing was starting, or at least when I first became aware of it. And I believe it was early 1995 is when I gave Biff, Biff had his first website. So it was just, scans of the zines, basically, that I was doing.
Okay.
So what made you take that jump to the web?
I'm sorry?
What made you take that jump to the web? Was there any push?
It was really, really cool.
That's a good reason.
I was going to start a Biff bulletin board system, which was a computer thing that, you would dial into your modem to some guy's house down the street, and people could post files there and download them. I was about to start up one of those for Biff when I discovered the internet.
I remember both bulletin board systems.
The World Wide Web was a lot cooler than bulletin boards. So many more people could access it at the same time.
Right.
And it was fun back then, being able to, the big search engine was a web crawler.
Right.
And you could change the text on your website and wait about 15 minutes and then do a search for a word and see your rankings change on on the search engine. I started scanning the comics I drew for the zine, and I put them up on my website. And my goal back then was to become a syndicated cartoonist. There was nobody had any idea of making money with a website drawing comics back then.
Right.
Yeah.
Were you the only one that you noticed putting a sort of serial graphics on the web, or were there any other people like you that you noticed at this time?
I don't remember seeing other comics back then in 95. I do remember it was really cool because I would email people Scott Adams, who does Dilbert, or John Crisfaluzzi of Ren and Stimpy. And I guess people didn't get that many emails back then, so they would actually reply to you because it was cool that somebody emailed them. I was not aware of other people doing comics back then.
Wow.
Of course I was unsuccessful at becoming a syndicated cartoonist. And it's funny when I look back at the comics that I was submitting, but when I look back at them now, I can't even believe that I got credit for doing that in college, let alone that somebody would consider printing that in a newspaper.
So you've mentioned college. So do you have any collegiate writing and art credentials?
I went to art school for 4 years, so that's
something. Do you feel that's changed your style any? Did it help you in the long run?
Well, I think I was just thinking about that recently, and I think because I didn't go to art school to learn any sort of cartooning, I think that's why my comic is more on the realistic side,
right?
As far as the figure itself, and I think about that sometimes. If I were to have, you know, to do this over again, I might have developed a more simple, stylized comic rather than the one I do now, where I sometimes spend an hour trying to get his hand to look right.
I know the feeling. So what are your inspirations for the Book of Biff?
I'd say, as far as comics go, it would be, I think a lot of people my age would say the same thing, but it would be Calvin and Hobbes and The Far Side.
The Far Side, yeah. it seems to be a little bit difficult to be able to pull off a really successful single panel comic, it seems.
Yeah, I didn't know that when I started. I've had other people tell me that, you know, why are you doing a single panel comic? That's harder. It didn't occur to me at the time. And now that I've done it for so long, I think it would be difficult for me to try to do something else, because I've sort of trained my brain to think in one panel increments.
Right, rather than in longer, you know, pacing and longer plot lines.
Yeah, it used to be when I would be writing comics, I would frequently come across jokes that would need too much of a setup to work as a single panel. But nowadays, since I do it, you know, five times a week, like, I don't struggle with that anymore, because I just quickly move on to the next idea.
Right.
I'm sorry.
I was going to say, the ideas used to be more precious to me. I would write down every single thing that I thought of, and it was like, oh, you know, every comic idea I had was gold, and I, you know, had to try and refine it. And now I don't even write down a lot of them. I just think of them, and then I draw the comic and then post it.
So are you're producing these as you go, day by day, or do you have a nice backlog?
No, I do them every day. Well, 5 days a week.
Everybody,
so, you know, Sunday I draw the comic that you see on Monday. Monday I draw the comic that you see on Tuesday. Occasionally, if I know something is happening, like I'm going to go out of town or something, then I do some ahead of time.
How much of the Biff character do you think is yourself? Seems to be like a self-defeating character, kind of the world against him type of thing.
I don't know. I haven't really analyzed it. he physically resembles me.
You have really long whiskers and eyebrows?
I have different hair than he does, but other than that, I take a lot of physical things from my own life.
Right.
He tends to wear my clothes. He drives my car. If you look through the history of the comics, he's had a couple different cars. Those are the cars that I owned at the time that I drew those comics. I got a new jacket last year, and he immediately had that jacket in the next comic.
He sounds like a roommate that just kind of like you know, lives off of you.
Well, I think it has to do with, since I draw him a little more on the realistic side,
right.
I have to use a lot of photographs and mirrors and looking at my hands and stuff to get him to look how I want. So therefore, he kind of looks like me.
You're your own best reference.
Yes, exactly. But as far as you know, being indestructible or creating things that would potentially end the world, those qualities are unique to him.
Right.
That's good.
You don't break the fourth wall too much, do you?
I did back in. I think I've come up with, you know, since this wasn't a planned comic from the beginning, it sort of evolved. There's some things in the earlier comics that I don't do anymore, such as breaking the fourth wall. but luckily I'm the only webcomic artist that's ever done that.
Oh, of course.
I don't have other characters. You know, he doesn't speak. It's kind of funny because people like to give me ideas for comics all the time,
mm-hmm.
and they always involve pop culture references. They involve multiple characters. They involve him saying things. It's very strange. I mean, have you read my comic?
It might just be a compliment. You know, it's hard to come up with ideas where you're dealing with only one character.
It's very individualized, as in, you know, it stands alone on its own, and people kind of want to keep expanding and see more of it, I guess. But, you know, pop culture references doesn't necessarily make it too timeless, and these will stand these will stand alone on their own for a long time.
Yeah,
I have a couple comics where I use, like, there's one where he drops his iPod into the Grand Canyon. And so I try to space them out, you know, so that they're not too common in there,
right.
To date it. But yeah, I tend to, and I think that's sort of a Calvin and Hobbes influence.
Yeah.
I remember reading an interview where he talked about how, you know, Calvin's toys are all like, you know, he had a wagon or like wooden blocks, that kind of thing.
Right.
So when you read the comic even now, there's nothing in it to date it.
Yeah, it's still relevant.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find that you are able to expand on the thoughts from the single panel with the blog posts? Do you find yourself fleshing out ideas a little bit more in the blog?
The blog thing kind of happened accidentally. I didn't do it for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I would actually have to go back and look at why I started. I don't even remember at this point. But I got a good response from it, and so I kept doing it. And I think something that people don't realize is the blog is the last thing that I do,
mm-hmm.
and I think it sometimes seems like I was thinking of the story that I told, and that's why I drew that comic. But it's always the other way around.
Well, that's a good thing, because I see too many people these days where the comic complements the blog, so you kind of have to read both in order to fully get the whole thing, and that's not how a comic should be.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, the comic is completely done, and then I post it, and then the comic itself makes me think of something. That's been my method.
You probably have people coming up to you asking advice about how they could do a comic that's successful like yours, particularly of a single-panel comic. Is that true?
No, nobody asks me about single-panel comics. yeah, they do ask me how to be successful, and they don't really like the answer.
Oh, what's the answer?
Well, the answer is I'm not successful. But how you do it is just what you hear everywhere else is announce your schedule, stick to it, and do good work. Which I don't know. Which it seems like a crappy answer when you know. How come your comic is more successful than mine? It's like, well, mine's better than yours. And, you know, I'm in my 30s, you know, and, you know, people asking me this question are, you know, 14, and they have, you know, a lot of things to figure out still.
Yeah.
And
there's no quick answer. There's no easy answer.
Yeah, I mean, that's... When I did my first book, that's one of the reasons that I put the complete history, you know, we kind of glossed over some of it. I put the complete history of Biff in the back of the book, and I printed a bunch of my the first drawings that I did, and they're really bad. And hopefully that's inspiring to some people that if you keep doing it, you can get better. And I get better every month, I think.
Oh, absolutely. Is there anything you want to plug real quick before we wrap this up?
No.
You do have the books and shirts on your website.
Yes, that is true.
How is the book sales going for you?
Great. I did a pre-order for it, and so I raised the money to do the full printing before.
Oh wow!
Before having it done, and so there was no financial risk on my part.
Excellent.
There was public humiliation risk on my part if I didn't sell enough.
Right.
But and I think more webcomics need to go that route. There's plenty of comics that are more popular than me that are kind of scared of that kind of thing, and they still want to do cafe press for their t-shirts.
Print on demand.
Yeah, do Lulu for their books.
Right.
Right.
There's a couple of webcomics that I like that I won't buy their books because they're $40 with shipping.
Yeah. And, yeah, print on demand is definitely a more expensive option.
Yes. And doing a pre-order for books and shirts, especially for shirts. All I did is I went to Google Maps and I typed in screen printing and then my zip code, and they showed me a bunch of places that do screen printing, like in the town where I live. And I called them up and said, how much to do this many shirts? And so I knew, okay, that's how much money I had to raise to have the shirts printed. And it took like 2 weeks.
Great.
Nice.
I think that should be something we should talk about on another episode. Merchandising.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Since that's the only way we make any money. That would be good.
Well, when do you think book number 2 might be coming out?
I'm going to get started on it this week or next week.
Oh, wow.
And so I'll be announcing the pre-order maybe sometime in February.
Okay.
Excellent. Well, Chris, we thank you once again very much for coming on to the Webcomic Beacon.
Sure.
And good luck with the second book, and let us know, and we'll put a plug on our site as well.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right, good night.
Good night.
And that was Chris Halbeck from the Book of Biff webcomic at thebookofbiff.com.
You know, I wave at the computer every time I say goodbye. That's ridiculous.
Well, you're a butt face. Haven't I called you that before?
No, that would be the first time.
Well, already. Well, you're a butt face. Okay, that went a little bit long, so we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to wrap this up.
Comic reviews.
This is Diana Nock, and I'm reviewing this week a Multiplex by Gordon McAlphin. It updates Mondays and Fridays at multiplexcomic.com. This is one that I've been seeing around a bit lately in advertisements and such. I thought it was worth a look. The comic centers around a group of young people, like older teenagers and young 20-somethings, You have people working at a multiplex theater, hence the title. It's been running since July 2005, and it's reached almost 200 strips by this point. It started off as more of a straight-up movie gag comic, which, and honestly, that part didn't entertain me very much. I mean, I watch movies, so I got most of the jokes. I just didn't laugh at them, really. I laughed a few times, but I didn't feel that the gags were incredibly successful. I thought it really picked up when the focus changed from Gagaday to taking a look at the relationships between the multiplex employees themselves. Usually when simple gag comics take a more dramatic turn, it feels forced. Like the author wanted to work on another comic idea, but didn't want to risk starting a new project when the old one was chugging along and had an audience already. I thought the multiplex did a good job of making the transition. It didn't entirely drop the gags and references to the latest movies and trailers, but they didn't make up the meat of the comic anymore once the relationship stuff got going. And I'll tell you one plot point that made me really happy when I was reading it. The main male character, Jason, is a dick, to put it simply. I'm not going to make big spoilers for the comic if you want to read it, but he makes a majorly dickish move to his friend Becky, who is probably the most male-female character in the story. And there's actual consequences. I was really surprised. Instead of being forgiven as just a lovable dope by his friend and getting what he wants without learning anything, I would expect that of a typical like self-insertion type main character, which I see a lot of in webcomics. Not just webcomics, but webcomics are very, very guilty of this. Instead of giving him a free pass and letting him get off scot-free, McGalfin actually had consequences for that, which I thought was really good. I have to give him props for that, so to speak. So I like the more dramatic stuff, and I figure that as long as the comic doesn't take itself too seriously, and it doesn't get into weird areas like multiplex employees don't suddenly get thrust into another dimension, or abducted by aliens, or given a magical quest to save the world, or all of the above, if it does any of those things, I'll say it's gone too far and should probably go a little more back to its simpler roots. Until then, I think it has a good balance of the more complex, character-driven stuff and the simple Gagaday. The art, I think, is passable. It's vector-based, which I don't see it a lot, but I don't think it has the dynamism or the sense of style to make up for the flat look of the vectors. Comics like Scary Go-Round and Wonderella, I think, do a really good job. Scary Go-Round has been drawn lately, but in the past it's been vector based, and it was really well done. Wonderella as well. And I just don't think the art in Multiplex really worked to its advantage. It's not bad, but in a slice of life type comic, it makes everything feel more banal and interesting. I think I had a look at some of Gordon's drawn comics. He has a section for guest works on the Multiplex website. And he has a really nice style, and I think that if the comic had been drawn instead of done in vectors, I think I would have liked it 10 times more. I probably would have actually reacted better to the jokes and the punchlines of the gag strips if they hadn't been coming from such flat, stiff characters, to be honest. Overall, I think Multiplex is enjoyable, especially if you're into topical movie humor. I do think it picks up when it focuses more on the Multiplex itself and not the movies. It would benefit from some more expressive art, I think, but what it has right now will do to the job. That's all McAlphin is willing to put forth for. I mean, I assume this is more of a long-running side project and not like his big magnum opus, so I mean, I can understand him not wanting to put a tremendous amount of effort into the art necessarily. It looks fine, but it could look way better if it was drawn, I think. And that was a review of Multiplex by Gordon McAlphin. Updates Mondays and Fridays at multiplexcomic.com, so check it out there. Also, this isn't a review, but I wanted to give a quick little plug to a favorite comic of mine called Anders Loves Maria. The URL is a little long, so just Google Anders Loves Maria. Pretty simple. It's been running daily since the beginning of the year, and it's just a really quality stuff. And if you're into like funny, tragic, authentic, relationship-driven plots, I think you should check it out. I know Renee would really appreciate the traffic. She's been getting more traffic since it started up, and I think she deserves it. So go check that out. Take my word for it. It's good. I, of course, know everything about what good comics are. Also, I got a little bit of feedback about the first one that I did last week, and most of it apparently was positive, so that's good. So if you have any more feedback, certainly let the show know, and then I will know, and I'm not going to go through the whole spiel again. Yeah, I guess that's my review for this week. I'll be a little more organized next time, hopefully. I am learning and improving, as always. And if you feel like you can help me with that, once again, feedback is great. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, Diana, for your review, and we're hoping that we won't have to make you die in a fire. Right now, I would have liked to gone over to webcomic impressions, but just so much stuff has been going on this week, and the last show was so late. I really don't have time to go over them right now, but we might be getting someone on board to do the webcomic review, the webcomic impression section of the show. And I gotta tell you, he's gonna be a little bit rough. He's gonna be a little bit more honest, if of course we get him on board. So, well, hopefully that'll work out pretty nicely for a lot of people. Take it with a grain of salt, of course, when it comes up. Hopefully next week we could have something in line. But in light of some other recent Webcomic Beacon news for the website, we understand that some people are having trouble downloading the show. We're not entirely sure what is going on because the problem seems to be inconsistently happening. People that used to be able to download the show can't download it, or it cuts off at a different point. We're currently investigating what this problem is. We're not entirely sure if it's user side or server side, but I'm going to be messing with a few settings on the WordPress PodPress plugin that I'm using for the site right now. And hopefully people can start downloading the whole show. I've been told that if you download something called BitComet, which is a download protocol or something where you can like click and drag a link and it will download it for you, people have been very successful in downloading the entire show that way. So, and if you are having problems, I recommend you check that program out. But other than that, hopefully people are enjoying the what we have been presenting thus far.
We love listener feedback here at the Beacon. Fess, tell them how they can get involved.
People can try calling in with an audio file that's about 30 seconds long pertaining to the week's subject at hand. State your name or screen name and your site at the beginning. Send it to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. You may also be able to leave a voicemail by finding Fessworks on Skype.
If you think you've got a really good story or sage advice that may be longer, try to keep it to about 2 minutes. You're also free to write a simple email with questions and comments, from general questions of the show to responses of this week's episode or next week's topic.
To get a jump start on the topic for next week, it will be on... We don't really have something ready to go, so we're probably going to go over some webcomics we feel that would probably be good to nominate for the Web Cartoonist Choice Awards.
Mm-hmm.
And just to recap, January 23rd is when the nomination round ends. So if you haven't had a chance to get your registration in, go to ccawards.com and get on nominating some good webcomics for the categories, and you can find all of that on their main website. Otherwise, check out our website for when if we're going to announce something specific, but it seems like we're just going to fly by the seat of our pants right now.
It's that kind of week. It's good.
It is that kind of week. But for now, that is all we have for the Beacon. And I'm Fess.
And I'm Tanya.
That's all for the Beacon. Be sure to tune in next week.